Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's June the 29th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the program, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Along the way, we'll hear from UofI Extension Ag Economist Daryl Good. I spoke with him this morning, not long after USDA released the planted acreage and quarterly grain stocks reports. Speaking of those, here are the details. Corn planted area for all purposes estimated at 92.9 million acres in 2007. That's up 19% from 2006 and 14% higher than 2005. Farmers increased corn plantings 3% from their March intentions, resulting in the highest planted area since 1944, when 95.5 million acres were put in the ground. The 2007 soybean planted area estimated at 64.1 million acres. That's down 15% from last year's record high. The area for harvest at 63.3 million acres is also down 15% from last year. And this is the lowest planted and harvested area for soybeans since 1995. Corn stocks in the quarterly grain report down 19% from June of 2006. Soybean stocks up 10%, and all wheat stocks were down 20%. Stay with us for this Friday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. July wheat at $5.82, down 27 cents today. September's down 26 and 3 quarters at $5.97, and December at $6.10.5, down 22 and a half. July corn futures were down a dime at $3.29.5. September's at $3.40 were down 10 cents, and December futures were down 7.5 cents for the day. And they finished at $3.50 and 3 quarters. July futures in the bean pit, $8.50, up 40 cents and a quarter. August contract at $8.55 and 3 quarters, up 39 and 1 half. November beans at $8.81 and 3 quarters, up 39 and 1 half. Bean meal futures finished $11 higher at $229.20 in the nearby July. July bean oil at 36.63, up 1.06 for the day. And over at the Mercantile Exchange, August feeder cattle gained $1.77 and a half and finished at $111.55. June live cattle at $85.50, down $1.42 and a half. The August futures up 12.5 cents in the live cattle pit at $90.27 and a half from the Merc, and the lean hogs finished the July $71.22 and a half. They were down 67.5 cents at the end of this trading day on a Friday. From the crude oil pit in the outside market, $70.42. The last trade, they were up 85 cents. The CRB index at 315.37 is up 2.61. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 13,417. And it's off just about 4.8 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Mike Zuzolo, Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Hi, Mike.
Hi there, Todd.
What a wild day. What a wild morning. USDA just keeps doing it to it, and they came in with a really big number for the corn, not so big number for the soybeans this morning.
No, and it was interesting because we went down through the states that we thought would take an acreage hit due to inclement weather in May, and they raised Missouri 100,000 acres, and I wonder how that can be when you have cars floating down your highways when they've had so much rain in that state this spring. And between North Carolina and Georgia combined, they only reduced the acres there about 40,000, and that's been some of the worst drought-hit areas of the last 50 years. So a lot of questions, but you don't fight City Hall at this point. You go ahead and run with what they give you. And, you know, the latest word from Chicago seems to be if you use these acreage numbers, they wouldn't mind plugging in a 153 corn yield at this point and taking it up from 150, and they probably are still sticking around that 41 and a half bushel yield on beans. So you're talking about a 13 billion bushel crop on corn and a 2.6 billion bushel crop on beans. that translates into about a 1.5 carryover in corn and a 1.75 carryover in beans. And so we plug that into our model, and it says ultimate downside potential low for the harvest time periods are going to be around that $3 to $3.10 level in DEES futures, and probably around $7.60 to $7.75 in November beans when it's all said and done, having no weather problems and no new adjustments by the USDA. So that's kind of how we're playing it at this point, Todd. We feel like that we've had a major rally in the wheat stocks and the wheat numbers today, and the weather for wheat was bullish enough that we should have been able to get the wheat to move up and stay at new contract highs. But we had a real house cleaning there with over a 53-cent range on the day. We didn't like that. There's some technicians that believe that the weekly highs are in at this point for the next several weeks in wheat, and we can't fight that if we go back through that last week's low of 578 and a quarter in July wheat next week when we come back. So we're kind of setting up a mindset that recovery rallies without weather or USDA coming in and changing the fundamentals again, our recovery rallies are meant to be sold and get that last 50% hedged in the corn. We'll start with the off-the-combine sales. Complete different look in the basis now because of today's report. We used to think that the corn basis was going to hang in there very nicely on a very tight crop. Now we're looking at a situation where basis levels could be pretty ugly when it comes to areas that have good pollination and good supplies, good population. And the bean basis, if these numbers are right, could continue to go up because they've gotten so wide here in many parts of the country.
I want to stay with the wheat market. Any good fundamental reason other than on the technical side, I know she dropped after making those highs, but is there any good fundamental reason for this drop?
Not a lot. I mean, the stocks at 456 were above the Dow Jones estimates, but it wasn't. It was only about 20 million higher than what the trade was getting at, and so it didn't look like to us that it was really that bearish. And as far as the acreage numbers go, a difference between 60.5 and 60.3 doesn't make a lot of difference at this point, because before this report, the trade was worried about us being able to get a decent-sized crop. You know, the USDA gave us in the June report, I think it was about a 1.2 or 1.25, I think, billion bushel crop, or 2.45 billion bushel crop. But people were starting to wonder whether we could even get above that 2 billion bushel crop in the wheat. And my numbers might be a little bit, no, it was 2 billion, yeah. So, I mean, 2 billion going into the report as far as whether we could get that out of the fields because of the wet weather, now they're not worried about that all of a sudden. So it just looks technically very fragile, and fundamentally it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Let's talk about the beans just a little bit. You'll be hard-pressed to convince farmers that after a 40-cent gain on the day in July, August, and November, for the most part, up 39.5 in both of the last two, respectively. But it'll be hard to convince them that beans can go lower or very much lower. But if you take a look at the stocks, soybeans in all positions as of June 1st, totaling 1.09 billion bushels, up 10% from last year, and it's the largest June 1 stocks on record.
Yeah, I think the best thing we can say in a brief amount of time for producers is look at what the basis has done up to now. You have not been rewarded very well the futures rally, and up until today's report, you haven't been rewarded at hardly much more than 50% or 70% of that rally at the best because of the basis levels. And so our mindset's always been take the cash market and deal with that, lock in a good price, and replace it with paper. I think that's still very much alive and the best way to handle this market, because we don't know what the trade is trading. In other words, before this report, we could have been trading around a 220 to 250 million bushel carryover, only about a 50 to 75 million bushel reduction on today's report, and so you don't have to go up another $2 to price this in if our numbers are right. And I think going back into Monday, the biggest thing for beans is, do we come back in on Monday and take out that old contract high of 896 and a quarter? And if we can on a closing basis, then the next technical step would be about 945. We get to 945, the last 25% we have here to sell, we're going to go ahead and let that go and probably come back in with some August or September vertical call options, kind of similar to what we've been doing all year long.
Let's talk about maybe some silver lining in the corn numbers. If we think about it, maybe, and you tell me whether I've got this right or wrong, it's possible that farmers could collect on their insurance. a lower number with pretty good prices for corn, anything over $3. I suppose most people think it's not too terribly bad, but a lower price on corn will ensure that the ethanol industry, which I guess I consider still pretty fledgling, will continue to thrive and the farmer-owned plants will stay afloat, and Washington won't get scared about using corn for ethanol production. And then as we get into next year, they'll be worried again about trying to get enough corn in the ground to produce ethanol. So maybe there's some things there that are worthwhile in having.
Oh, yeah, all very valid points. I think that those are longer-term, medium-term issues. And I think even in the shorter term, we're not going to give up on the idea that the USDA can come in and lower yield, even though Chicago's not thinking that. I mean, if anything, with these bigger acres. And the interesting thing, it'll be interesting to see what Dr. Good has to say about this, because the interesting thing to us was, we can take a big planted acreage increase like that, but don't make the harvested acres 92% of those planted acres. I mean, we came in today, and they gave us 92% of the planted acres for the harvested number. Last year, we only got 90%. And so it really begs the question, how in the world can we get 2% more in the harvested acres from the planted this year than last year when we've had the problems we've had? And so I think there's some stuff in the short term even that we have to be aware of. And one thing that wheat taught us very clearly was, if we don't get USDA to come in and change the fundamentals, if we don't have an issue with the pollination here or in China, then sure, we can stay range-bound with a lower bias and the trade keeps pricing in a bigger carryover. But if we do have one little switch by the USDA, if we do have some pollination problems, then the corn stocks numbers will shift from the United States bias back to the world numbers, where we're super, super tight, and the International Grains Council report this week was completely overshadowed.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks a lot, Todd.
Hey, you too. Mike Zuzlo is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Friday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up, USDA released its crop acreage report Friday morning. I'll have some of the surprising numbers with agricultural economist Daryl Good. USDA estimates this year's corn crop has been planted to 92.9 million acres. That's the highest number in 63 years and 19% bigger than last year's corn acreage. The increase in the corn figure is offset, says University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist, by a drop in the soybean number. It landed at roughly 64.1 million acres. Daryl Good says both are dramatically different than what USDA reported in March.
About 2.4 million acres more corn than reported in March, and about 3 million acres less soybeans. Those are among the biggest changes we've ever experienced from March to June, and certainly was a bigger shift than anticipated by the market.
Traders, farmers, and the industry will use the updated acreage numbers to set prices for corn and soybeans. The question at hand now, then, is especially for corn, says Good, is what numbers do you use for the average yield per acre this fall?
And as we've experienced better weather conditions, I think anticipating at least trend yield is likely now 150 bushels. If we're at 152, we're at a 13 billion bushel crop, which would be certainly an ample supply of corn for the year ahead.
152 times the harvested acreage, which USDA puts at 85.4 million acres, equals 12.98 billion bushels. That would be under normal growing conditions from now until late this fall, and would mean next year corn carryout would build to 1.2 to 1.3 billion bushels. It's a much more comfortable level.
At the same time, we know that with ethanol production continuing to expand, that we're going to need big corn acres again in 2008, so that there is a downside limit on how low corn prices can go relative to soybeans in order to maintain the acreage next year. Certainly, for after harvest is when we'll really start taking a look at those price ratios, make sure that we're going to maintain corn acres.
That's after harvest. Between now and then, farmers should certainly expect those prices to move in different directions.
We got down to about a 2-to-1 price ratio, soybeans to corn. We're now pushing back up towards 2.3 ratio. I would guess we could see it go to 2.5, but I don't think it'll be maintained there. My thinking is that we've got to see some fairly stout soybean prices near term, say the next 2 months, to make sure that South America plants a lot of soybeans. And then after that is when corn and soybean prices have to come back into a ratio that will make sure that U.S. farmers plant enough corn next year.
The pricing structure for corn and soybeans is evolving with specialization. Over the last 15 years, South America has come on as a powerhouse in the world soybean market. And it has meant the price of soybeans in Chicago at the Board of Trade has been restructured to reflect the six-month recurring supply. Starting with this year, because of ethanol, there may be another adjustment taking place. The price of soybeans has jumped in the summertime to encourage production in South America, and the price of corn has to jump after harvest to encourage U.S. farmers to plant more acres of corn. It means there may be two regular recurring sets of corn-soybean price ratios for any given marketing year from now on.
That's right. I mean, you have to have one set of ratios as South America plants, and what we're thinking now, that ratio has to encourage soybeans planting. And then if that happens, then when we look at the ratios going into our planting season 6 months later, that needs to tend to favor corn to some extent to make sure that we continue to grow corn for the ethanol. And then we do that, repeat that cycle again every 6 months. So it's not only the harvest period, as you mentioned, but now it's we got to give the right signals at planting time as well.
So for U.S. corn farmers now faced with their decision to plant a record number of acres this season and the likelihood of lower prices into the fall, it means opportunity will return as the season progresses and the marketplace decides how much corn production will be needed in 2008 to support the growing U.S. ethanol market. That's good news, but may not be the best news in an otherwise bearish USDA June acreage report. The lower corn prices will help ensure the profitability of the fledgling ethanol market that prompted the increase in the corn acreage. Again, Darryl Good.
No question about it. With a combination now of not low-priced corn, but a more moderate-priced corn, and what we're seeing in crude oil prices continuing to strengthen, I think does bode very well for the ethanol industry. It also suggests that we're likely to see some expansion in livestock production. But that brings us back then now to 2008. Say, if we continue to ratchet up corn consumption, then we'll have a need for a very large crop again next year. So we'll go through the same scenario of playing the acreage and the weather game again next year. But for the immediate future, I think end users sigh some relief here, thinking that supplies are going to be pretty adequate.
Relief that should extend across the U.S. agricultural sector. There had been concerns the livestock industry in the states would move offshore because of the higher corn prices, and if the price of corn really skyrocketed, that it would put enough pressure on the ethanol industry, the food supply, and Washington, D.C., that all could rethink the nation's developing renewable fuels energy strategy. A lower corn price may very well be a silver lining. A couple of other notes from the USDA report released Friday morning, and this is taken directly from the report. The 2007 corn planted area for all purposes is estimated, as you already know, at 92.9 million acres, and that's up 19% from last year and 14% higher than 2005. It is the highest planted area in the U.S. since 1944, when 95.5 million acres were put in the ground for all purposes. Growers expect to harvest about 85.4 million acres of grain. That's up 21% from last year and the highest level since 1933. Farmers responding to the survey at USDA indicated that 99% of the intended corn acreage had been planted at the time of the interview. That compares with an average of 98% over the past 10 years. The corn planted acreage is up from last year in nearly all states as favorable corn prices have driven growing demand for ethanol and strong export sales. Illinois farmers, by the way, planted at a record high 13.2 million acres of corn, up 1.9 million acres from last year, and a record high corn acreage was also realized in Indiana, Minnesota, and North Dakota, where acreage planted increased by 1.1 million, 900,000, and 810,000 acres, respectively. Iowa continues to lead all states in corn planted area with 14.3 million acres in the ground, up 1.7 million acres from the previous season. For U of I Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
On this Friday afternoon, Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, joins us to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Panic calls into the elevator this afternoon?
Yes, it's been an interesting phone day. I was looking at an excuse to hide out and not take this call this afternoon. Part of the problem is we're sitting here with a lot of activity, a lot of interest, and the basis market just really doesn't quite know what to do with it today. Sounds like the train market backed off initially and then turned sellers to the point where it was trying to kind of hard to find bids later on today. I think it'll settle down and settle out after a few days here, but it's one of those odd situations where you have corn sharply lower, beans sharply higher on the board, and the basis is down on both of them. But I think it's just the stove was hot. They recoiled and want to see what shakes out before the numbers come back in.
Is it just because they're not sure if they can, if they put that much corn on the ground, how much availability they're going to have for cars and storage and all of that sort
corn,
of thing?
Corn side becomes a transportation logistics situation. You know, I look at the report today, and it's a macro thing that has to concern me here. You know, Fort Iroquois, Champaign County, there's no more corn planted than there was a month ago. You know, I'm still working on my space budget numbers from then. The problem becomes is if everyone else is off or there's more cars that are needed out there or barges or trucks or whatever, then that changes how much you can pound through the pipeline. Beans, the situation is more a case that if the board is running up and the basis wants to take a step back and see what will happen. You look at it long term, you think if there's that many fewer acres somewhere down the road, somebody in the U.S. is going to want some soybeans and pay up the basis for it. But it's just getting it from point A, which is today, to point B, which is 12 months from now.
Well, let's hear how today finished up in your office then.
We are 323 on nearby corn in Paxton, new crop 319. Beans 787 and 838.
Bruce, we appreciate it much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is the manager at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Friday afternoon. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Steve Hilberg about the agricultural weather forecast. The regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Governor Rob Blagojevich is expected to sign legislation that sets up a one-month stopgap state budget. It has to be signed by Sunday, the start of the fiscal year. Lawmakers remain in a stalemate over a full year's budget, with legislative leaders and the governor's office still negotiating on and off. The state Senate passed the temporary budget this morning on a 45-7 vote. Indiana Democratic gubernatorial candidate Jim Schellinger has raised more than $1 million. Campaign finance reports also show that Republican Governor Mitch Daniels began the year with more than $2.5 million in the bank and has since raised another $710,000. Schellinger is likely to be joined by at least two other Democrats in next year's primary. Police have called off an earlier Amber Alert in Illinois. They say a minivan containing a woman and her three children was found this afternoon in the St. Louis area. They're unharmed. Police had issued the alert fearing the four had been abducted. They had been last seen in the Streeter area. A proposal for a federally funded study on how Chicago's south suburbs can take advantage of a planned airport is advancing in Congress. The House has okayed Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr.'s idea for the $231,000 grant for a commission involved in overseeing the airport plan. But the Republican Study Committee is arguing against federal money for the study. A spokesman for the conservative group says no airport exists. A Jackson aide is the commission's executive director, and the congressman has said repeatedly he's against any federal funding of the airport. Jackson spokesman Kenneth Edmund says the $231,000 isn't for building the airport, it's for a study on how it could create jobs and ensure minority participation. Edmund adds that the Jackson aide isn't paid for his airport work. A new program that connects Medicaid patients in Champaign County with eye exams and other vision services is already generating interest. The interim director of the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District says it'll offer screenings in a mobile van staffed by volunteer eye doctors. They're looking for more volunteer doctors to expand the program beyond the current 64 appointment slots per month. The district says it's hard to find eye care providers who accept Medicaid. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture, and this is WILL Urbana. We're joined on this Friday afternoon by the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, Steve Hilberg, to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the two-state region and around the Midwest. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
What can we expect for the weekend? I guess we call this the July 4th weekend, but maybe I'll split the difference and celebrate on both.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice weekend. Finally dry for a little while, which be honest, after being dry for a long time and then getting basically all our June rainfall in 1 week, could use a little bit of dry weather to fall back and regroup here. But it looks like it's going to be a nice weekend with plenty of dry weather, lower dew points than we've been having the last few days, and also some cool weather. We're barely topping 70 here in central Illinois today, partly because of the cool weather, and then the clouds are helping out there. So should be nice, but we'll start warming up next week. We get some return flow in here, and looks like the first part of the week will be fairly dry and starting to warm. And next chance for rain could be late on the 4th of July and on Thursday. Another cold front will be dropping into the Midwest and could bring some rain on the 4th of July evening to northern Illinois and then maybe to the rest of the state Wednesday night into Thursday as it moves south. But right now it doesn't look like anything like we've been going through recently, but it will be our first chance of rain probably next week.
And by the time we get to that date, temps will be a little bit higher up in the 90s maybe?
Yep, we'll be more summer-like. I think 4th of July won't be firecracker hot, but it'll probably be closer to 90. And pretty much typical early July weather around here. So things are sort of getting back to normal. We've got our precip levels back to normal for June and well above in many areas. And things are going into July in really good shape.
And then our lows overnight as we go through this pollination period, pretty important to keep those kind of cool.
Yeah, especially this early part of the week, and we'll get into next week, maybe a day or two where we're close to 70, but then once that front comes through, that'll bring some drier air in here. So we'll see lows down into the 60s again probably toward the end of next week. And then beyond that, of course, we're getting into fantasy land a little bit on the models, but it does look like we'll stay in a typical summer weather pattern for the next 10 days or so.
Speaking of fantasy land and models, I guess, your model's not up and running yet, I don't think, for...
No, it'll start probably maybe next week. We'll start cranking that around. It'll be interesting because we probably would have seen decreases starting to be projected because of the dry weather we had, but now I know what your observation was, but it seemed the corn was growing 2 feet in 3 days the last week or so with all the rain we've had.
You bet. She pops out of the ground, doesn't it?
It sure does. So I think we'll be looking, especially in Illinois, there's been parts of Indiana that have not gotten the rain that we have here in Illinois, but in general, things are not in bad shape.
Do we get to talk to you next week, or are you taking a little time off?
No, I should be around.
All right, I'll be here too.
Okay, Todd.
All right, Steve Hilberg is the director of Midwestern Regional Climate Center, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Friday afternoon. That model we discussed, of course, is from the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, Illinois State Water Survey, and it predicts yield of corn and soybeans for the Midwest and then translates that out into a national yield. We'll try to take that up again next week with him. That should be their first run of the model. You have a great afternoon. Don't forget to tune in to Commodity Week tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. Central Time if you can't wait, and you might not be able to. After about 6 o'clock this evening, I'll post it to the website at WILLAG.org. Have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.